Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Sherry Veronica, and you are listening to Naked Departure Radio. With me this evening, I have Renee Williams, and he's hailing from New York City in New York, and I want to welcome you into the studio, Renee.
Thanks, Sherry. Glad to be here.
Well, yes, you wanted to talk about the state of Barbados in this upcoming election, 2018. It is highly anticipated that the BLP, from all that I'm hearing, but I'm only one person, that the BLP is going to win. Mia Motley has hit the ground running, and the BLP is looking to tarnish her reputation. But people say it's all politics because they're all friends. Now, with that in mind, and looking at what Barbadians endured for the last 10 years, do you want to give your take on that? Because I'm sure you know that there were about 23 downgrades of Barbados economy. We know that Chris Sinclair does not know what he's doing. We know that Frondel Stewart, it says nothing. In fact, people are quite surprised that he does have the wherewithal to speak at this point. Dennis Lowe is dying. You know, they had him propped up to go to pay his $250 for his re-election bid. And let's talk about Michael Carrington. Michael Carrington is a thief. He's the Speaker of the House, and he stole close to $250,000 from a client. And we have a whole range of ills that we can look at within the ruling party as it is. And when you look at that, how do you see the future? Where do you think things are going to go? How do you think things should go?
Well, Sherry, the thing is, with the Barbados economy is that we don't really have much goods to export. We depend on tourism. So when you have like your economy done that much time in such a short period of time, no money coming in, otherwise then it's also been problems. And then if you have people in positions that do not understand, I guess, what their job entails, it causes even more problems. So right now we're at like a C plus basically. That's down from our highest point of like an A back in 2010. So you realize that under these 9 years, our economy has really stagnated. There's no outlook on growth. So the question is to the people, the party who's coming in next, what can they do to the economy? What better can they do that hasn't been done in the last 9 years?
Okay, go ahead. Just go ahead. This is your show. You wanted to talk about Barbados. Okay. You are living in New York City, but you have your eyes and your ears on your country. You said to me when we were speaking earlier that you see Barbados as a paradise. I totally disagree. I do not see Barbados as a paradise. The island itself is a beautiful, beautiful island, but the people need some work. They need to get away from the Masonic type educational system, and they really need to learn real life lessons. What their educational system is not doing anything for them, because as it stands, Barbadians right now want anyone to get into power who can bring the economy around, who can bring money into the island. They don't care if the person's a pedophile, they don't care if they're a woman beater, they don't care if they're a criminal. They don't care about anything. They don't even care if their politicians steal. Just leave enough to keep the country afloat. So, what do you think about the sentiments of the public in Barbados? Because you are Barbadian. I don't know when the last time you've been back there, but you must know that Barbadians don't really care about the personal life. They don't care about the morality They don't care about morality in their politicians. They just want the politician to be able to do their job. What do you think about things like that?
Well, I think that's the nature of politics. I'm not very fond of the system myself, and that's one reason why I had left Barbados, because I guess I don't understand how politics work. You know, you go to school, you grow up, you know, you want to get a job, you want to do different things, and then you meet these roadblocks, you know, and then you're like, well, why meet these roadblocks? I did whatever was told to do as a kid. I listened to my elders, you know, I followed the rules, but then you still get these roadblocks coming up, what I call invisible walls. And this is just how it is in the nature of politics. In every party, you're going to have, I guess, what we call the good, the bad. We have people who are trying to strive to do things better for their constituents and also the country. And then also in that same party, you're going to have people whose interest is just solely their own. So I think if you look at both parties, you're going to see candidates have been around for years. So myself, in the last 9 years, you know, you had issues basically, but of course these issues were not just in the last 9 years. You can look back as far as 15, 20 years, and you're always going to see that they have issues with the country. So I'll give you an example right now. I'll go back basically on the Barbados debt, right? And I'll go back as far as 1994. Like, we were in debt with like $1 billion. Then it rose again to like $2 billion in 2003. So like throughout, no matter who you put in the party, you realize that the debt has been accumulated steadily, basically because there's no real plan for the future. Maybe because when someone gets in, it's basically about the now. It's not about how can I prevent future generations from having to go through what this one goes through, basically. So no, I think as of like 2016, our debt's like around $6 billion, which is a lot. According to estimates, it's like $20,000 per capita basically, which is per household. Our poverty index is like around 5,000 basically, and of that 5,000, looking at like 6% of that is single female households. So like, if you realize that, like, you when elections time, people go to different people say, hey, elect me, and I'm going to do this for you, I'm going to do that for you. But at the end of 5 years, you know, like, you realize that nothing really happened, nothing really transgressed, because they haven't put measures or programs in place to bring people out of poverty and into working-class jobs whereby they can support the economy. So one issue that you had in the last 20 years was that the middle class basically dissipated, right? The middle class are the ones who pay the most taxes, buy the most goods, and that is how Barbados economy would have survived. But if you have no middle class, then you have that, you don't have that bridge to keep Barbados stable. And then this whole world of fears are fluctuated, you know, like, you're going to find a rise and falls in tourism. And then that's your mainstay. One thing you have is sugar cane. We don't mess with sugar cane now. There's no cotton industry. Okay, so the issue now is, like, for people coming up, like, how can I now leave Barbados and go someplace else and make money? Okay, and then when you have that, then you have like brand new, which means that you're the most intelligent people now are not staying in Barbados to either entrepreneurs, small business owners, stuff to enhance the economy and give the boom. So one of the things I found interesting was in the manifesto of the BLP was that they wanted to reprofile, I think, the interest, basically, to, you know, make it paid over a longer period of time and then try to use that on the extra cash, I guess, to fund programs. But basically, if you're looking at what that interest was basically a $500 million. That's a lot to be paying on interest. Okay, so that's like $500 million that could be used to doing other stuff in the country, whether it's road work, social programs, you know, programs that can help enhance the economy. And
okay, let's get a little bit more into the nitty gritty of things in Barbados. Do you know the members of the DLP?
I know a few of them. I think seen the list of their candidates.
Okay, do you think Frontier Stewart should have reshuffled his cabinet?
I believe so, yes.
So you think that he should have gotten rid of some and brought on new people?
Well, I guess it's circumstantial. I guess it all depends on what each person did. But I think if after first you got your first term, and you realize that the results basically weren't what you wanted, we're going into second term and then so forth. Well, let me try this person here, and this person there, because at the end of the day, it's all about results. Like I can't go to a supermarket. I can't go to a shop and say, hey, just trust me. I need money. So if you're not getting results to put money in Biden's pockets, like you have to make changes. Like sometimes with this system is like a friend thing, you know what I mean? Like, oh, he's my friend, so I'm here and all that. But at the end of the day, like the people at the bottom, like we need money, we need income, we need stability. So like if a person doesn't function in a position, you can't be like, okay, well he's my friend, well I'm gonna let him stay there, you know what I mean? Like you try to find the best for the best position, and I don't think that happens in politics. It usually comes down to, hey, I know you, or you know this, or this, you or this, or that. So it's like, you know, I scratch your back, you scratch mine. And it works at the top because those are where all the strong networks are. But at the bottom, I say, there's just too many walls you have to go through, so you know, get those results to help your kids or help your, you know, your family to make ends meet.
Okay, well, getting back to the question of reshuffling or maybe even bringing other people in, if someone is duly elected, you may not be able to get rid of that person, but can you imagine that the DLP may be interested in independent people who are running independently, and maybe if some of their members don't get in, they can court that particular independent to be on their team? Because, for instance, do you think that Dennis Law is useful?
Well, the thing is because he's
You know the garbage is not being picked up around Barbados, right? That kind of stuff.
Well, I heard that the sanitation had issues. The trucks, what have you, and then they had like private contractors coming in to do the job of sanitation, basically. So that was the issue.
Do you think that this law is useful?
In its current state, no.
Do you think that Michael Carrington should be the Speaker of the House, given the fact that he stole close to $250,000 from a client?
Well, I'm not really aware of that. Basically, so that one that's a fact.
These are things that were reported in their newspaper.
In the Nation or Advocate, one of the papers.
In the Nation, the Barbados Today, yes, it's something that went through court proceedings. It's real. It's factual. Do you think that he should be at this point? They had 10 years now. Do you think that they should keep him on their club? If they cannot get rid of him, that's where the reshuffling comes into play, I guess. But do you think that he should remain as the Speaker of the House?
Well, once you're done with this, I guess until like the Prime Minister decides that you have to go, you have to go. But
that's what we're talking about. When we talk about reshuffling, we're talking about the Prime Minister. We're talking about Frontal Stewart. You were talking about him making decisions, some tough decisions. We're talking about a moral stand. That's what we're talking about here. Do you think that Donville Innes is useful?
What's his portfolio?
Pornography.
what
about Jones? Always walking up.
Ronald Jones.
Do you think he's useful? The minister of pedophiles.
Wow. Well, I guess I don't really hear those things. I guess here really most of the stuff I see, I guess, is like around like financing, basically. Most of what I talk to you about.
Okay, let's talk about finance then. Do you think Chris St. Clair is useful under his leadership? 23 downgrades. Do you think he's useful?
I think that's a tad too much, though. I'm going to say it's like a C right now. So with the trade deficit as it is, it doesn't really seem like he's being. I guess he did the best in the position that he was in. But the question is, let's say you want to get these people, who are you going to play somewhere else? That's the question. Who do you have that can take the portfolios and then make a dent in the trade deficit or make our education system better? The question is, who do you have to replace people if you take them out? So I think that's the question you have to ask yourself. Like, who do you have in the current party that can replace? Do you have anybody that's sound? Do you have anybody that's experienced? That's what basically comes down to.
I find it quite perplexing that with the bad state of affairs that Barbados is in, that from the start did not court other candidates. I find it quite perplexing. I find that it's perplexing that he didn't advise the people that he's going to reshuffle his cabinet and put people with certain strength in certain positions or whatever, because where he has people now, it's not working. And let's talk about tourism. That's Richard Seeley's portfolio.
I sent it to you on WhatsApp where he
has all these millions of dollars, under the table. You don't know if it's true or not because these people, they'll never admit. But, it seems as though a lot of money is going out of Barbados, and Barbados are getting poorer. So you want to talk about the state of affairs in Barbados. Where do we go from there? Would you consider a third party if you were living in Barbados? What do you think of Solutions Barbados?
Well, the thing is, Barbados has been a two-party nation for years, for 51 years. So,
well, things could change. It has to change. Don't stick it. Don't keep it stuck in the mud.
I'm just saying that that's what it is. And the thing is, what I found for this election, they have maybe 10 or 12, I think, different parties. Which I guess goes that people think there's a time to change. But again, it's left to the voters to decide if they're going to vote for change or not.
Voters. It's not. The voters are not here with me today. I'm asking you, what do you think about Solutions Barbados?
Well, solution wise, basically, I don't really believe in the system that is running right now.
That's a party. All 28 were nominated, so they're on their way through to elections. So the boss man in elections, Grenville Phillips, he's kind of religiously banked. So, but is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know. Are you religious? I mean, should we have someone? He's married. He's a professional. His wife is a professional. All the members of his party are professionals. Is that the way we should go? Not we. Oh, I made a mistake there. Is that the way Bajans should go? Is that the way Bajans should go? Should they get someone who, gets on his knees in the morning and prays to the the invisible God in the sky, and I don't know, just go that route, or should they go Mia Motley? Should they? Because everyone is accustomed to the Motley name, and she has her crew, the Motley crew. What should people do? We know all the talk about Mia Motley. In fact, some people say they see her gambling. She doesn't pay taxes. She doesn't pay VAT. She doesn't blah, blah, blah. There's a whole lot of talk. A whole lot of talk and a whole lot of things being released at this point with Mia Motley's name on it. Where should your people go?
Well, I think they should see what party can do the most for them. That's the main thing. So
they should do what? I'm sorry, you sound muffled to me. So maybe it's my phone. Say that again.
Could be. I said I don't know the candidates personally, so they would have to know for your constituency, basically that you're in. Like, can it do anything for me? Can he do like social programs? Can he enhance education in my system? Can he get roads built? So it basically goes as what you feel the person running your country can get done for you. Because at the end of the day,
they're not forward thinking people like that. They more think like a whore kind of, that's the whore like mentality is like, tonight And this is what it's going to cost, and I'll see you tomorrow. If you're here tomorrow, you're here tomorrow. If you're not here, it's somebody else. That's how that's, the people in the constituencies, they probably want maybe a couple hundred dollars to vote, and that's as far as it goes. They may talk about roads being built. They may talk about, you know, infrastructure. They may talk about getting a job. They may talk about these things, but really and truly, all they're interested in is that money in their hand come election day.
Well, this is the thing. This is what, 2018? 2020 is around the corner, and the world is vastly changing. So I think at some point in time, you're going to have to look around you and understand, I guess, the situation that you're in. So I don't think if you got a couple of dollars wrong, that shouldn't think how that's going to help you going forward, because once you spend that money on bills and food, it's done. Then you're still in the same place you were before.
But that's the way Negroes think. They don't think ahead. They don't think 25 years ahead. They don't think 100 years ahead. They don't think that way. They're not bred to think that way. That's why they steal. That's why they lie. That's why they defraud. Because they don't think about the future. They don't think about karma. They don't think about nothing like that. They just do just in the moment.
Well, then I think they might have to start looking. I guess looking to change their thinking, because now you're going to give somebody now a chance another 5 years. So
exactly.
That's what I'm saying. So this is a very critical time. It's about global affairs and all that stuff. These 5 years to either make or break your country. So if
the DLP gets back in, the D meaning Democratic Labour Party gets back in, do you see that being a good thing?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen the manifesto. I think I've seen part of the bill.
You don't need to see a manifesto. You can see what they did for the last decade, right? You can judge someone on what they've done in the past, right? No. Because did they rely on their manifesto? Did everything that they had on their manifestos for the last two terms, did they rule all those things out? Did they come to fruition? I mean, you can look and see what they have done and how they have segued and how they have not kept their manifesto promises. So you don't need to see one right now. We can judge them for what they've done. And do you think another 5 years, under their leadership would be good for Barbadians?
Oh, that I'm not sure. I heard the premise that he deserves another chance, I guess, to fix what was fixed, I guess, what went wrong. So I guess he may have some plan in mind. So is that
so? So if you hire someone and they're telling you after 10 years that they need some more time to do something in your employ, because remember now, they're servants. Politicians are servants. And if you're saying that it's going to take you 15 years to accomplish a task, is that competency? Do you consider that person being competent?
No, but I hear you saying that person has servants, but I think that's a misconception.
What's a misconception?
That politicians are servants.
They are servants. The misconception is the foolish people that they have around them.
Well,
the people are foolish.
Basically, what I've seen over the years is that They run the country basically how they see fit.
You mean they run the country in the ground? Like most black leaders do. They run the country in the ground, and their bank accounts are busting, like most black people do. Come on now, let's be real. Do you think that the BLP, Barbados Labour Party, would do a better job if they got in?
So let me ask you a question, right? Okay, so this is the thing. If I was to tell you, I'm going to give you 5 years, right? Whereby you're not accountable to anyone or anything, and you can do whatever you want to do. Like, how many people do you believe is going to go in there and like just work for people for 5 years? That's the whole thing. If you put a system in place, basically that maybe has a little more rigid, they might get better results. If you have a system that's very lax, then you're basically saying it's up to the person to decide whether or not they're going to work in my best interest or not.
I don't think people vote with that in mind, with what you just stated in mind. I think people vote based on a manifesto and hoping that people can roll out what they've had and what they've promised that they will do. I think they vote with that in mind. Maybe not in Barbados, but usually when people put go to vote, to a voting poll, they're hoping that what they want as the taxpayer will manifest within a certain amount of time.
I've been around for a while, and I can tell you, you can't hope. You have to make sure. So how I look at it, regardless of who I'm getting, I have to make sure I have a job to put food on the table, to pay my bills, and that sort of stuff. I don't hope. I look to see what the candidate can do, and I can see if it's going to benefit me, and then make my decision based on that.
Okay, so what do you think about Mia being leading Barbados? What do you think about her
I think on the international scene, it's not very good because she will be the first female prime minister in the country. So in that aspect, it looks really, really good because you have a woman leading this for the first time in 51 years after men led it for that long. So I think it gives Barbados a little more credibility.
But it's a credibility. But she's not married. She doesn't have kids. So let's say she wins and people were to turn and look in her direction, and she's a lesbian. Mm-hmm. She's lesbian, and not only she's lesbian, she seems to be a dirty one. She seems to be able to put her hands on her significant others, and she's kind of vicious, and she has a reputation. So do you think that she would be a good look for Barbados? We're just talking. This is just talking.
Well, I'm not sure. I haven't really heard those things, so I don't know. But based on the fact that she's in the legal profession for years, she understands how the court system works, and. She's been in politics for a long time as well. She talked to world leaders. I think it's a good look for Barbados. It's a female reason, but again, it's there to see what she can do with what she has.
Grenville Phillips from the Solutions Barbados? Do you think that a religiously bent person could work out in Barbados?
If he can keep his religious, views himself, then I think it'll work out.
Let's stay on point here. The reason I'm saying he's religiously bent is because that's what I'm saying. The man is religious. The man talks about praying and God and quote the Bible and that kind of shit. Come on now. Stay with me here. The reason I'm saying he's religiously banked is because I'm saying he's religiously banked. Do you think that we need some, that? Oh, I say wait. Do you think that Barbados needs someone like that in power?
But hold on, you forget, wasn't Joseph Ali a minister and he was elected as well?
I'm talking about for the prime minister role, and this guy Grenville is heading Solutions Barbados Party. Do you're not gonna answer the question? You don't have to answer the question.
No,
I did.
Well, you say no or yes?
Because it's no or yes.
Pardon?
Yes. You think he'd be good? No, you don't think he'd be good. Which one was it?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yes, I have no problem with someone who has a religious affiliation. That's not a problem. Whether you're atheist, religious, it shouldn't appear from what you need to do for the country. If you have to make a decision that gives the country more income or more, you may not have to make.
Do you think that Barbados should legalize marijuana?
I think in the future it should on the right conditions. But right now, those aren't the conditions.
The future is now.
It can't happen now because if you look on, you see there's certain sectors that need to be revamped. So to legalize marijuana and I don't have the particular controls in place, they're just asking for more trouble. So I think it's a good discussion, but no, it's not the right time for it.
So you're trying to say that if they legalize marijuana, people who don't smoke will suddenly start smoking marijuana?
No, it's not that. Don't forget, the reason to legalize is that you're going to take taxes on them, people trying to make a profit. So now, right now, there's a black market value for marijuana. Now you're taking away from people who do it on black market to just have it legalized across the board. So, you're going to have a different argument. You're going to have some conflict. So, you need the right measures in place.
Thank you so very much, Renee. We're on tomorrow again, and I'm going to have to call in. And we're going to do this all week long, so I'm sure you'll be on again, and we'll, like, back and forth like we did today. I want to thank you. This is Sherry Veronica, Naked Departure Radio on Blog Talk. Thank you.